Okay, good evening. We're up to Perek Aleph, Mishnah Ches, and Pirkei Avos. So we're starting the next set of Tanaim, who taught each a set of three items. So we're up to Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shetach. So the Mishnah tells us Yehuda ben Tabai, the Shimon ben Shetach, Kiblu Mehem, and today we're going to learn about what Yehuda ben Tabai said. So Yehuda ben Tabai Omer, three things. Al ta'as atzmecha ka'orchei adayanim. One should not make himself ki'orchei adayanim, like the orchei adayanim. We'll have to see what that means. Number two, when there are bali din in front of you, meaning you're a dayan and you have people, you have litigants that are standing in din in front of you, you should view them as rishayim. And number three, paradoxically, that even though you were just looking at them as rishayim the entire time, when they're mekabel the din and they walk away, now you should view them as a kohen. Now you should view them as if they're totally righteous and they're tzaddikim, and everything is fine. So let's take a step back and see what's going on over here. First of all, who are these people? Yehuda ben Tabai, Shimon ben Shetach. Why are they so concerned about dayanim? Why is there so much about judgment and about how courts work? So a little bit of history is important over here in terms of the tkufa during which these two tanaim live. Yochanan Kohen Gadol became a tzaduki at the end of his life, and he had five sons, and they each were trouble. And his third son, Yanai, married Shlomtzion Hamal, who is the sister of Shimon ben Shetach. Now, Yanai wanted to be the Kohen Gadol as well. He wanted to take over as Kohen Gadol. So he was told, the Chum told him, be happy being the king. You know, you don't need to be the Kohen Gadol also. And he was very offended by this, that he was not going to have the opportunity to be the Kohen Gadol. So that was strike one against the Chachamim, that they told him that he was not going to be able to be the Kohen Gadol. And then a Maisa happened with Shimon ben Shetach, where 300 Nazirim, who were poverty-stricken, who couldn't afford even the money for the Karbanos that they needed to no longer be Nazirim, came to Shimon ben Shetach and they said, we need you to be Matir our Nazirus because we can't afford the Karbanos. So Shimon ben Shetach found a Pesach for 150 of them, that they wouldn't be a Nazir anymore. So he went to Yanai and he said, there are 300 Nazirim, they can't afford their Karbanos. You pay for 150 of their Karbanos and I'll pay for the other 150. So Yanai ponied up the money to pay for 150 Nazirim's Karbanos. Shimon ben Shetach was ready Matir the other 150, so they all went free. So someone was Malshin to Yanai, Shimon ben Shetach didn't pay a penny. He didn't take a dollar out of his pocket. He just released all the Nazirim. So that was strike two. And Yanai was not pleased with Shimon ben Shetach. He was furious. He wanted to kill him. Shimon ben Shetach had to run away. And it took a long time. Yanai was on a rampage to kill all the Chachamim. So Shlomtzion HaMalka ultimately convinced Yanai to stop killing the Chachamim and made it safe for Shimon ben Shetach to return. The Gemara all over Shas is in Kiddushin like this, in Brachos, or in Babasri. You have all these stories throughout Shas that relates to this whole Maisa. Shimon ben Shetach was sitting in Gemara in Brachos, talks about how he was sitting at their table and a whole conversation ensued about him leading benching and he didn't need anything. So the whole Maisa that the Gemara tells. But ultimately he came back and Yanai said, you know, tell me something, dear brother-in-law. What was the story with the 300 Nazirim? So he said, I did pay for it, just with my Chachma. You have money, I have Chachma. So you take care of it with your money, I took care of it with my Chachma. And apparently Shimon ben Shetach, Yanai HaMelech was pleased with that, was okay with it. Now, once Shimon ben Shetach returned, the Gemara in Kiddushin says he was Machzir HaTorah LiYoshna. The Tzdukim were very, very powerful. Remember, all this started because Yochanan Kohen Gadol became a Tzduki, and therefore the Tzdukim were in significant positions of influence, including the Rove of the Sanhedrin was made up of Tzdukim. So slowly but surely, Shimon ben Shetach worked very hard to turn the Sanhedrin back over to genuine Chachamim, that the Tzdukim shouldn't be in charge of the Sanhedrin anymore. And that's why there's such emphasis on the Beis Din, on how Beis Din should operate, because that was really Shimon ben Shetach being Machzir HaTorah LiYoshna. So many of the Piskei Halacha that you find of Shimon ben Shetach and Yehuda ben Tabai was Shimon ben Shetach's Rebbe. So Shimon ben Shetach recruited him to come back, also not to be in hiding anymore, to come back and to serve as Machlokas Tanayim, whether to serve as the Av Beis Din or to serve as the Nasi. We know all of these pairs are an Av Beis Din and a Nasi, but it's Machlokas Tanayim, who is who in this pairing. But he recruited him to come back, and Yehuda ben Tabai came back, and a lot of their Piskei Halacha were Lahot motzi miliban shel tzedukim. They were always working to try to undo what the tzedukim were thinking. The Gemara in Makos Tafhei tells us that on one occasion Yehuda ben Tabai was issued a psak lahotzi miliban shel tzedukim to kill an aid zomim, even though the other aid did not become an aid zomim, and he dafka wanted to demonstrate that the tzedukim hold that kasha zomim only means kasha rasa, only if you actually if they were actually successful in their aidus. So he dafka wanted to kill an aid zomim kasha zomim velo kasha rasa, where he wasn't successful in the aidus, and he killed him. But after Yehuda ben Tabai did that, Shimon ben Shetach said, "You made a mistake. You were shofich dam naki, because you're not allowed to kill an aid zomim unless the achiyazim ushneim, unless you make both of them aid zomim." So at that point, Yehuda ben Tabai said, "I'm done paskining. I'm only going to paskin when Shimon ben Shetach is around. He's not going to paskin on his own anymore." So fascinating grouping over here, Shimon ben Shetach and Yehuda ben Tabai, just in terms of their history. But let's look to what they actually say. So first thing that Yehuda ben Tabai says is al tas atzmecha ka'orche adayanim. It's a strange phrase. First of all, ta'as atzmecha, well, why not alti, don't be ka'orche adayanim. Also, ke'orche adayanim, why not don't be Orche Adayanim? What's Ke Orche Adayanim? Also, what does it even mean? What are exactly Orche Adayanim? A vast array of interpretations over here. Even just in terms of who this is talking to, the Rashbetz writes that this is talking to the Dayanim. How does he know we're talking to the Dayanim? Not talking to lawyers. We're talking to the Dayanim themselves. How do I know? The rest of the Mishnah. The rest of the Mishnah says, and when the Balei Din are in front of you, you should view them as Rishayim. And once they accept your Din, you should view them as Tzaddikim. Obviously, that's talking to the Dayanim. So it must be that the first part is also talking to the Dayanim and saying, and it's telling the Dayanim, don't take sides, that don't try to come up with arguments and teach one of the litigants what he should be saying in order to be, do you mean to say, you know, like to be suggestive in terms of what will help him out, which is interesting because the Gemara does have a concept that are based on the pasuk, but a concept that we apply in halacha of psach picha li'ilim. That sometimes if you see one of the balei din has no idea what to say, the dayan is supposed to be psach picha. The dayan is supposed to ask him the questions that will lead him along the path to say the right things. But it's very limited. It's very, most of the time the Gemara quotes psach picha li'ilim, the Gemara says, Mau detema psach bichalilim kamashmalan. Right? It's most of the time it's just a havamina. That I might think you should lead him down that path and start telling. No, you can't do that. You have to control yourself and let him just say what he's going to say. The cases where we do say psach bichalilim is if it's like a child or if it's a case where a person is so verblunged, he can't pull himself together, he's so angry, so whatever, he can't articulate any sentences. So in those cases, you say psach bichalilim. But stam, a person is presenting his case and he's not saying the right things, and you think that he could be making a better argument, then we don't say psach bichalilim. So that's the Rashbetz. Rashbetz thinks this is talking to the Dayanim. I think the majority of Rishonim don't learn that way. The Rambam certainly. The Rambam seems to learn very clearly that this is saying that you shouldn't have lawyers in Beis Din. That you shouldn't have someone being arranging the din. Arranging the din mean ka'orche hadayanim, to be orech with an ayin, is to arrange, to organize. As if who are you organizing? The dayanim. You're arranging that they should come to certain conclusions, that they should come to a certain psak. No, you shouldn't arrange at for a specific outcome. The dayanim are supposed to have the outcome that's emes, that's whatever is the truth. Rav Shacht always bemoans the fact that there are so many batei din nowadays that have toanim. What do the toanim do? It's orchei dayanim. It's exactly what the Mishnah says, that you're not allowed to do, that you shouldn't have people that are teaching what to say and what not to say. And you should, Rav Shacht always says, if you want to get the most honest din in a beis din, don't go to a beis din. Go into any yeshiva, pick three rebbeim who look like Erlich HaYidin, and just have the case in front of them. Because they don't know from any shtick, they don't know from any, they just know the din. So then you'll get an honest judgment. It's a lot of confidence in Rebbeim in any random yeshiva, but that's what he always thinks, is that's the best way to get a Beis Din together. Because there's just too much sheker that's out there. Unfortunately, this is unfortunately true. So, and the Rishonim point out that it doesn't doesn't mean, it clearly the Mishnah is not saying that don't teach your client to lie. I don't need a Mishnah to tell me not to teach the client to lie, right? You don't need, oh, ethics of the fathers to tell me, you know, don't tell the client to lie, right? That's obvious, right? You saw this week someone was sworn in on a Pirkei Avos. Someone saw that? Anyone see? Someone sent me that story. I don't think it was anyone here. It was a government official that took like a 500-year-old Pirkei Avos and was sworn into office. So this is the ethics of the fathers. You need that to tell me not to lie in Beis? Of course you're not going to lie in Beis Din. It means don't teach him which tainus to say that are gonna be more convincing to the dayanim. The Tosos Yom Tov writes that an adam chashuv shouldn't even give legitimate legal advice to his relatives, because that's based on Gemara and Ksuba stuff in Beis, that Rabbi Yochanan gave legal advice to his relatives and it was right, it was proper advice and it was min adin. But he realized that as another, even though there's a din mibsar chal tasalim, that you're supposed to try to always help out your relatives, but he realized it's not going to look good. He's an adam chashuv, and people are going to talk, so he should try to be beyond reproach. He should be at a point, v'yisim nikiyim, me Hashem u'mi Yisrael, that he should be beyond any potential criticism. In the Avos Rabbi Nasan, he says, no, this is not talking about the dayanim, it's not talking about lawyers, it's just in general in life. If you're a Talmud, learning from Rebbeim, don't be Karachei HaDayanim. Karachei HaDayanim means don't be like you're the chief justice. I mean, you shouldn't walk into a discussion with your Rebbeim. They're trying to say shir, and like you know better than everybody else, that you have a certain sense of arrogance. There's actually one girsa that Karachei HaDayanim is not with an ayin, it's with an aleph, like the tallest dayan in the room. That you shouldn't walk in such a stilted way that you're the big man. That's not the pashtus, right? The pashtus is we're talking about in a Beis Din. We're talking about in a court over here. The whole Mishnah is talking about a court. It could be that same Musa, the Avos Rabbi Nasan, applies to a court as well. Meaning, if you're one of the Dayanim, don't assume that being one of the Dayanim, that you're the greatest of the Dayanim and that you have it all figured out. So that was piece of advice number one that Yehuda ben Tabayi gave. And then he gave two more pieces of advice. He said, Uksha yu bali din omdim lefenecha, yu beinecha kurishayim. That so long as the bali din are there, you should always view them as rishayim. The Shach in Choshen Mishpat, Simin Yud Zayin, says this is la halacha, because there's a halacha that you're not supposed to be mistakel b'fnei rasha. So he says, when the balei din, there's an din of atifas harosh for dayanim, when the balei din sit in front of you, you should pull the atifa, pull the talus over your head so much that you can't even see the balei din, because you're not allowed to be mistakel b'fnei rasha. So you shouldn't even look at the balei din. So that's what the Shach writes in Chosh Mishmah. Says Pischei Tshuva on the spot, that's a good way to make sure that everyone will not be afraid to lie to you. If they don't have to look you in the eye, then they'll have no problem lying to you. So, you have to do what's right. You have to make sure that you get the truth out of people. So if not looking at them is going to be that you're not going to get the truth, then it's a very bad idea to do like that. But that's a discussion in Poskim on the page in Choshen Mishpat. But why is it that you should have to view them as Rosh Hashanah? I would have said, view them as Beinonim. Don't assume anything. So some suggest that you can't assume that a good guy is correct because he's a good guy. Meaning, a lot of times you know the guy. You know that he seems like an upstanding person. He seems like a chashuva person. He seems like an erlicha person. So you can't go with that assumption because then you're not going to be able to judge properly. And it could be he is an erlicha person, but he doesn't realize. He doesn't realize because a person is never roa chova biatzmo. A person never sees a chova for themselves. There's a famous maisa with the sma, that the sma was traveling somewhere and he had a din Torah against somebody and they didn't know who he was, and his sefer had just come out, and he wasn't yet famous. The Sma is one of the commentaries on the side of the Choshen Mishpat, and he added in Torah, and he prepared all of his arguments, and he went in front of the Dayanim, and he presented all of his arguments, and they paskined against him. So he said, you know, Slicha, Dayanim Mumchem, can you do me a favor and explain to me where you see that I'm wrong? Where you see that my arguments don't carry weight? And they didn't know who he was. They said, oh, there's this great new sefer that was just published called the Sma, black on white, Shachar Alavan. It says right there that you're wrong. So we got it straight from the Sefer Sma. So the Sma realized a person is never roa chava biatzmo, that he himself wrote the Chiddush, and he didn't, and that was his undoing, and he didn't realize that that's what happened. Then the Mishnah concludes with Ukshen Iftarim Milfanecha Yu Beinecha Kisakoyin Kishe Kiblu Aleim Es Hadin, that once the people are Mekabel the Din, that's the Tanai, that if they're Mekabel the Din, if they're honestly Mekabel mekabel the din, then when they leave the Beis Din, you should view them as good people. Rabbeinu Yonah writes, even the guy who was wrong, you should assume by the time the Din Torah came to its conclusion that he probably did tshuva already. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Dav Zayin tells us that we should celebrate when Beis Din makes us pay. That when Beis Din finds us chayiv, we should celebrate if Beis Din made me pay the shirt off my back. Because what's Beis Din doing? They're making sure that I'm not a ganav. I would have gotten away with it and I would have been a ganav. Then I'm going to have to pay in the Olam HaEmes. So I should celebrate when Beis Din is mechayiv me. So that's how the Gemara in Sanhedrin says. So that's the way we should assume the attitude that people are going to walk away from the Beis Din with. Okay, and we'll stop there. Have a good evening, everybody.